Station.
Yes.
And part of the sale, though, would have her sitting courtside every game. Just something about that does not
feel right. I don't know why she doesn't get the fact that it's really good to be part of that. I mean, it's better. She's better off just removing herself.
She's got to understand, hey, you know what? I'm part of this, too. I'm sorry. I wish I
had divorced him years ago and kept the team and said, you know what? You keep everything else. I just want the team. And maybe like 25 or 50 million.
And I think that kind of got him peeved off a little bit.
We'll see what shakes out. July 7th again. Update from the U.S. Open in mere moments. Oh, great story. This is in Elle Magazine, Pat, which I don't read very often.
But you do subscribe to it.
True. Anna Kendrick, she is...
She's one of the best.
Butterface. I mean, beautiful.
Oh, she's
sorry.
Unbelievably fantastic. There's not one bad thing I could say about Anna Kendrick.
Sure, if we knew her a lot better, we'd be able to say some a lot worse. Some bad things about her.
She, this is surprising to me. She
apparently
says,
she hates the elderly. I don't know where this came from.
I don't even care at this point. Yeah. I don't care if she even hates the elderly that are in my family. She says, I've never felt like I've exactly traded on my looks. When I was a teenager, I was an ultra late bloomer. And my mom would say it was a blessing because it means you never have to wonder if guys are only interested in you because you've got boobs. That happened to me a few times. I would have been thrilled if guys were interested in me because of my boobs. Similarly, I think I'm lucky I've never had a crisis about whether the only reason I'm successful is because I'm crazy hot. It's not something that crosses my mind. Well, let me just say this. You may not worry about it, but
you worry about it.
You are.
Yeah. So. Somebody's worrying about it.
You're not ugly. Let me just say that for the record.
And I noticed, you know, what she had mentioned. Her.
Her looks?
Yeah. Both of them.
Gotcha. In a rare interview, Dave Chappelle stopped by The Late Show with David Letterman and talked about quitting The Chappelle Show. Now, he didn't really get into it. He wasn't real, like, excited about talking about it, but Dave kept asking him in his own Dave way, and it worked out good. I mean, he got some answers out of him. It is funny listening to Chappelle, though. You can tell two things. First of all, it's as though he's not real sure how it exactly happened and that he ain't too broken up about the fact that he lost millions and tens of millions of dollars.
But now, are you tired of talking about it? It's 10 years, of course you're tired of talking
about it. I don't talk about it. It's like, you know, I just, you know. Listen, here it is. Technically, I never quit. I'm 7 years late for work.
Boy, are you going to be in trouble when you go back. You made a decision.
Yeah, I made a series of decisions.
Do you regret saying, I don't want this enormous sum of money?
Well, okay, look, Dave. It's very hard to go through something like this because no one's really done it before. So there's not too many people that don't think I'm crazy, right? So I look at it like this. I'm at a restaurant with my wife. It's a nice restaurant. We're eating dinner. I look across the room, I say, you see this guy over here across the room? He has $100 million. And we're eating the same entree. So, okay, fine. I don't have $50 million or whatever it was. But say I have $10 million in the bank. The difference in lifestyle is minuscule. The only difference between having $10 million and $50 million is an astounding $40 million.
That's so obvious and so basic and so awesome. And he doesn't even seem to care. But the thing is, at the end of the day, if he wanted to have another show and get paid an exorbitant amount of money, he could do that. I think it's safe to say there are many, many networks that would love to have Chappelle doing a show. If he wanted to do it, they would pay him. He could basically write whatever check he wanted.
I mean, they didn't even film three full seasons of that show, and they have played him over and over again for 10 years.
What I would like to see is how much he's making off of some of those reruns.
He makes a great point, and I wish, I've talked about it before, and it's easy for me to say for a guy that's never going to make that much money, but you want these athletes, and like Barry Sanders, I wanted to see him play some more, so I hated that he retired early, but you also think, gee, how much more do you need? I mean, if you have $20 million, say, in the bank, and when you're Barry Sanders, you probably do. Is $30 million or $40 million going to make that big a difference? It really doesn't. And so I don't understand what the motivation is when there's a risk of injury. Like actors, I can see why I could see acting until I died because you only have to work like, say, a month at a time, a couple, three times a year, and you make piles and piles of money. I could see that.
I think he just did go on to mention things like his kids' schools and stuff, you know, but still, they ought to be able to go to some pretty darn good schools, you know, with what he's got.
At the end of the day, though, if you can earn, I think you've got to try and earn as much as you can. So I would
think
about him looking back on it.
Yeah, you say that, but there is enough, right? I mean, when you have so much money that you don't need to worry about it anymore, that you can't possibly spend through all the money if you have a reasonable lifestyle, even somewhat of an extravagant but reasonable lifestyle. I mean, $10 million may not be the number for a guy like him, but I mean, if you...
You know what I think about that,
he could have done two more seasons or something and been rich beyond his wildest imagination and been fine.
If you can earn it, you can always find something to do with it. Listen, you may not need it, right?
Mm-hmm.
You may not need it, and your kids may not need it, but I guarantee you that there is a way, if you have it and you don't want it or don't need it, you can give it to something. If you can earn, my whole deal is if you can earn, you never know when that chance is that you won't be able to.
But you're like me. You have a blue-collar mentality. You're a grinder. You're a worker. That's your DNA.
That's what we do.
But that's our DNA. But these guys are playing in such numbers that it's so exorbitant, that it's so beyond our understanding that, you know, but there should be a place where I understand what you're saying, and the more money you make, the more good you can do. I guess the question becomes for me, how much of a time commitment is it and how hard is it for me to earn it? If it's real easy, like I said, if I'm an actor, I would probably act until I died if they would keep giving me roles, and I would keep making, if I was making a lot of money, I'd probably do it until I died. But if it was
a professional athlete
that's going through the grind of getting ready and all that every year, and especially if you're a football player and you have a high risk of injury, potentially permanent risk of injury.
Well, and the smart ones have already set up what they're going to do in the future, and if they are smart, then they'll have a post-playing career, which hopefully will be as successful, even more successful than their playing career.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm hoping.
Hopefully Chappelle listens to the Get Ready for the Future show, because they'll show you how to... it's great programming.
Of that, there is no doubt.
Yes.
John and Janet could definitely keep Chappelle... With all the
money
he needs.
He would make sure that the government doesn't take 50% when he dies.
That's right, like maybe 42. What do you got there, big guy?
Well, I saw this headline, and it just struck me as strange. I'm curious what you guys would do in this situation. Adam Levine.
Kill everyone.
Is this the Maroon
5 fella?
Yeah, he's got the scruff. He's kind of got a long face.
Good-looking fella.
Yeah, he battled acne.
Guy. Very talented.
Yeah, proactive spokesperson.
Well, he is attempting to make amends with all of his ex-girlfriends before marrying Bahiti Prinsloo.
Wait a minute. All of them?
That's
a long list for him, from what I understand. He's been around, you know.
Well, it's okay, to some of his ex-girlfriends.
Okay.
He wants to make amends with his exes and, quote, apologize for how he treated them.
Yeah, well, I think that's
before
good.
Before he gets married.
Let
me ask you this, though, Justin.
Yeah.
What does it matter before you get married? Can't you just apologize to him in general?
You can whenever, but I mean, your wife probably wanted you to have contact with these people once you're actually married, so it's maybe better that you do it before.
I wonder if he's...
If you're not in touch with them anyway, you might as well go ahead and get it over and say, look, I'm sorry that I treated you poorly. I apologize. I was a real heel, and I wish I hadn't acted like that. And so, whatever.
I wonder if he's in a 12-step program.
I don't know.
Where they make you do that.
It is strange, though, Maddie.
I would say, when you break up with somebody, unless you have children together, you never talk to them again.
Here's the thing. Here's the difference, is that whenever you break up with a girl, no matter how bad the breakup was, there is still a chance, and it may be 1%, it may be 80%, that you guys will hook up again. Because there are two kinds of people in this world after breakups. Those that focus on all the terrible things that the other person did, and those that focus on how awesome the hookup was.
Oh, yeah.
So it depends on who you are and what they are. And so you gotta coincide where maybe you're both 80%ers and you think about the good things. So the point is, once you're getting married, your mind says, I'm never going to hook up with this person again. I might as well say what I got to say now and say I'm sorry, because I really... And there have also been reports we've read on the show before that he treated a couple of his former girlfriends quite shabbily, one might say.
All right, would you not agree if you had a chance?
It's like, aren't we still going out? No, I broke up with you. I'm dating this other broad.
Would you not agree if it was your ex and you did treat her shabbily, as you say?
I like that word.
Would you not say, I got an open weekend. Let me see if I can't give her a quick apology to see if we can't rekindle something.
No, time heals all wounds.
It's like, I agree with Matt. You're not going to hook up with her anymore. She's out of your life. What's the point? Well, it seems insincere to
me. I think it's good for your karma to say you're sorry if you're sorry about something. I think there's nothing wrong with that.
Why wasn't he sorry after he treated them shabbily?
Because, Pat, I don't know if you're better than the rest of us, or me at least, because I've gone 6 months and gone, you know what? I really feel bad that I did that to somebody. I'm sorry that I said that to somebody. And unlike some people, I'll pick up the phone or I'll send them an email and say, look, I'm really sorry I did that. I think I behaved like an idiot or a heel, and I'm sorry I treated you shabbily.
Fair enough. Do you know why that to me is the worst kind of apology? Because you're not apologizing because you hurt that person. You're apologizing because of your guilt and you want to get over it.
No, I'm not.
So I would say to you,
no, because if you don't realize,
it's not genuine.
If you don't realize at the time that you're doing something wrong, there's nothing. You can't expect somebody who doesn't know that they're doing anything wrong at the time, especially when it comes to relationships, to say they're sorry. Later on, they may say, you know what? I treated that person like crap. Maybe I need to say I'm sorry. Whether it's a buddy or a girlfriend or a family member or whatever the case may be.
I'm not saying don't do it, but at least acknowledge the fact that you're doing it, as you said, for your own karma.
No, I'm doing it for two reasons. I'm doing it for two reasons.
I think that person, maybe they have and maybe they haven't gotten over it.
There's no impact. There's no direct impact on you if you don't say you're sorry. But my thing is, it's always okay to say you're sorry, even if you're not. But if you are, you absolutely should. I think you should go out of your way to say you're sorry. Even if it's not easy to get to that person, get the apology delivered,
sure.
I think you should go out of your way to do it because I think it's only good for you. And you know what? I've always found, even if it's 6 months or a year later, because I've had issues with buddies where we've had a falling out or whatever, and I've come back and said, you know what?
A bromance gone bad?
No, but pals. And I'd say, hey, you know what? I wish I'd handle this differently. And it's guys that maybe you haven't talked to in a long time, and you probably weren't going to talk anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But you go back and say, you know what? I'm really sorry I did that. I'm really sorry I said that. I wish I'd handle this differently. To a time, every single time. Not one time has it come out differently that they have appreciated it truly and said, I'm really glad you said that. That means a lot to me.
Okay,
and
well,
I appreciate it.
Here's how I hope Adam Levine's ex-girlfriends.
And it makes them feel better. And I bet his ex-girlfriends appreciate
it. Here's how I hope they answered him when he said
screw
this.
You, burn
no,
in hell.
Here's what I hope they said. Get over yourself, you
Justin Timberlake wannabe.
Justin Timberlake, get over yourself. You really didn't hurt me that bad.
No, no, no.
Sayonara.
Whether or not he hurt him or not is not the point. He knows he behaved badly, and whether it bothered them or not, whether they shed a tear or said, whatever. And in most cases, from the chicks that I've seen that he dated before, they probably said, whatever, because there were plenty of guys lined up at their door to go out with them afterwards.
Yeah, they moved on pretty quick.
Yeah, there were plenty of other marginally talented frontmen waiting outside to go out with them, so it was not that big a deal. But again, I see no harm from him, and I appreciate the effort for him to go and say something.
How many dinks said this? You know something, Adam? I need to apologize because I'm sorry I kept your two-bit butt around longer than I should have. I should have dumped you when I had the chance.
I bet none of them say that.
Well, they should.
Okay,
if they had any pride.
This is, again, one of those deals where, Pat, you and I don't see eye to eye when it comes to relationships.
Well, that's fun. We
you
can
have a completely different outlook on these things
than
I do.
We can agree or disagree.
You are so cynical about relationships. It blows me away. And I wonder what happened
to you.
I'm
not cynical.
You are so cynical
I'm just saying.
About relationships. I'm not even knocking. It's a fact of life. You are unbelievably, incredibly cynical about men's and women's relationships. It's amazing to me.
If somebody called me up and said, you know what, blah, 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 we had a bad issue back in the day.
I've done that. We did this.
Yeah, but here's my deal.
And you know what, thank God
you
said,
what I would say?
You know what, you're right, I'm coming back.
No. And I say, okay, it's going to happen again. Because
probably.
That's your personality.
Right.
So it'll happen again. So the apology, as great as it is that you recognize, it's not going to change.
But here's
anything.
What would be great is if I called you and said, I'm sorry, and then I never talked to you again. Because then you would say, you know what? He's sorry, and I don't have to deal with it. Because you go out on a high note, Pat. I'm always a fan of going out on a high note. And
if
you make an apology to someone you never talked to again, you get to go out on a high note. And even if they say, you know what? Burn in hell. I hate you. I hope you die. Or I hope you get a terrible disease and then die. You still did your part and tried to make things better and
Let me
amends.
Ask you a question.
You got to make amends.
Hey, this is something that I would ask
Life
God.
Is just this long 12-step program. That's all it is.
This is something.
And then you die.
That I would ask God. If you apologize to somebody and they don't accept the apology,
yes.
Is there really an apology?
Yeah.
What's important is
no.
The saying of I'm sorry, not the accepting of
apologies
the I'm sorry.
Are exactly the same thing as divorces. If I want to divorce you, we're getting divorced, okay? If I hand the sheet to you, if you get served notice that we're getting divorced, we're getting divorced. You don't necessarily have to be an active.
If I say sorry, you have the apology. You, it's not a matter of if you accept it or don't accept it.
No.
You've been apologized to, sir.
Right.
And you take the apology.
Yes, and I don't have to accept the apology, but that's on me then. You did your part.
I did it.
Yeah.
I apologize.
I don't have to go to court and say, man, I'm thrilled that we're getting divorced, and I will accept this divorce. I will sign on the dotted line. But you're still getting divorced, because if the other person don't want to be there, you're not going to get to stay in the marriage.
All right, let me ask you this. Do you think there is somebody out there?
For you, yes.
Who you harmed, and you didn't realize you harmed, but they were affected by it, and you never apologized to them, but you know what? Through the course of their own thought process, they said, you know what? I forgive him.
Yes, and that's good for them, because if I don't realize that I did something wrong, I can't say I'm sorry.
Where's the list of people you still get to call to apologize? I want to see, because could we call them on
I have made a valiant effort to apologize to a lot of people that I've wronged over the years.
Not part of a 12-step program.
How many times have I apologized to you?
I don't know. We throw around apologies here like going out of style.
No, but you and I mean, look, we apologize to each other when we do something wrong.
And there's probably going to be more of them.
I'm still waiting for the big one from you. I'm sorry I walked out.
I gave you the big one already, big guy.
I walked out. That was the big one? Steve.
Hey.
What's up?
Hey.
Tide fan Steve?
No, not Tide.
How y'all doing?
Good. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great, man.
So the zone just turned into The View all of a sudden. I don't know what happened.
Adam Levine. Thank you.
If anybody could do it.
You know, I've had a friend. I had an issue just like that, and I had a friend that we had a falling out. He was like my best friend. And we had a falling out over religious viewpoints as far as me saying, well, God bless you on my answering my phone voicemail and all that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he came back and criticized me on that, and I was just really upset about it, and we just sort of walked our separate ways for about 2 years, and finally, I called him up, and I said, man, look, you know, I was there for you when your wife died, and he goes, man, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to hurt your feelings and all this, and we worked it out, you know, and after we talked.
But you had to guilt him into the apology. That's really bad.
No, I didn't make him apologize. I apologized for not accepting his opinion.
Mm. Okay.
You know, and
you're sorry that he has a lack of faith, right?
Well, no, that's his problem.
I'm sorry you're going to hell.
Yeah.
We can still be friends.
No, actually, I just told him, dude, we all have our opinions, and I did not respect yours.
All right, Steve, so what's the happy ending to this story? You guys have coffee every day at the Waffle House.
And massage parlor.
No, we have beer at Buffalo Wild Wings.
How's that
going?
Okay.
Hey, but I've got a question. This is to Pat.
Yo.
And it was on a conversation I heard yesterday, and I couldn't get in. Now,
it wasn't me.
How old was Michael Jordan when he won his first NBA title compared to LeBron?
Oh, let's say 84. Let's say he was 21. He won his first one in 91.
91.
So that was 7 years after. So what's that, 28-ish?
But he came out early. Came after his junior year, so he would probably been 28. Yeah.
Around that time.
28-ish. Okay. So probably comparable.
Yeah. About the same time.
Or maybe a little bit. Jordan was probably a little bit older. Because LeBron came out when he was like 13.
So, yeah, LeBron's probably 27, maybe. 27, 28, yeah, but, I guess, because he's, what, 29, right?
El Betts, come here.
Cool beans. Well, I'm just wondering, because, you know, I've been hearing this debate between these two guys, you know, and I think just Michael Jordan's a true athlete when it comes to NBA, and LeBron is an up and – I still think he's up and coming as far as the game goes, and he's terrific.
Doesn't
I'm not going to ever diss him as far as that goes.
Doesn't he have three MVPs?
Oh, he's still in his prime, brother. He's got three more left in him.
I don't think he'd be up and coming if you have three MVPs to your credit already, though.
If he's up and coming, look out.
Yeah, Tiger Woods should still be up and coming in that case.
Tiger Woods. Don't even get me started.
Oh, I don't have time for that, Steve.
We apologize, Steve.
I don't want you to have to say you're sorry.
He's a putz.
Oh, boy.
He's a putz. No pun
intended. He's a putz.
All right, thank you.
All right, thank you.
All right,
you know, Phil Mickelson says that his best golf is still ahead of him, and he's going to be 50 soon.
I think Phil Mickelson's on crack. 433-1037, 1-800-477-1037. Birthday trivia. Larry Betts is here. We're going to talk about a youth home poker tournament that's coming up in July.
July 19th.
And it is being held where?
Next Level Events.
Next Level.
Old train station.
Is that what it's called now? Okay. Next Level.